This is the Hockey News Podcast.
Hello, everyone. This is the Hockey News Podcast. I am writer, editor Matt Larkin. I am facing associate senior writer Ryan Kennedy to my left with his customary can of Coke.
Diet Coke.
Is senior writer Ken Campbell
drinking regular Coke, buddy boy?
And I think it's National Blue Sweater Day. We all have blue sweaters on.
Yep.
I don't know why. It's just it's our uniform, apparently.
Sure. But we're here. Called each other this morning. Yeah. What are you wearing today?
I think so. We coordinated it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Where's your zipper, Ken? We have zippers. Wait, I don't have a zipper. Oh,
I have a zipper.
Never mind.
I struggle with my zipper. I think my zipper. Is there such thing as a right and left-handed zipper?
I don't know. I'm left-handed. I've never had any problems.
Because I had some trouble with my zipper this morning. I'm not going to lie. It took me...
On the shirt.
Yeah.
Let's clarify that.
It took me... Well, there's that too. That happens all the time. But, you know, it took me a while to get my shirt on. I'm just saying.
This is off. True story, bro.
Yeah, true story, bro. Time to talk some hockey. I'm sorry, folks. Hopefully you haven't turned off the podcast already. We do have a lot to talk about today. First of all, I'm staggered by this news. The Edmonton Oilers have sent down Jesse Puljujarvi. Of course, they waited until they burned the first year of his entry-level deal and his first UFA year. But they did it. We saw them do it with Leon Draisaitl a couple years ago. That was back to junior, but in this case... Puljujarvi actually gets to go to the AHL because he came from Finland. He actually is eligible, even as a teenager, for the AHL. What do you guys think? Are you happy? Do you think it's too little, too late? Or what are your thoughts?
I have no problem with him burning his entry-level deal. I have no problem with him being a UFA a year earlier. That kind of stuff, I don't think, really, in the grand scheme of things, is going to make that much of a difference. I find it puzzling because of the timing of it. Like, it's probably... a month and a half later than it should have been. Like, I have no idea why this guy wasn't playing in the World Juniors for Finland. I mean, you know, he might have been a difference maker for that team. They might have, you know...
He might have saved the coach's job.
Yeah. You know? And I just think that, you know, this is a situation where, you know, this guy's going to be a good NHL player. There's no question about it. He needs to go down to Bakersfield, play 21, 22 minutes a game... get in all situations, get his confidence. I mean, what's that joke going around? Patrick Laine has as many goals for the Edmonton Oilers as Jesse Puljujärvi has.
Right.
One. I just think this is good. This will be nothing but good for him. I mean, you know, look at Anthony Mantha. You know, a guy like Anthony Mantha, who's now up in the NHL. He had to do his time in the minors. I mean, there was a time when, you know, Jimmy Devillano was coming out and wondering whether or not this guy was ever going to even play in the league. And now, look at what he's doing. So I don't see a problem with it. I think it's a good move. I think it's a smart move. I think it's a move that was a long time coming and should have been a month and a half ago. He should have been playing in the World Juniors and then gone down to the minors.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if I'm Finland, I'm livid right now because they ended up playing for relegation. Which was a tremendous embarrassment considering they won the whole tournament last year, partially on the strength of Jesse Puljujarvi. It just doesn't make any sense. And again, you mentioned it on the, you know, that the Oilers did this with Leon Draisaitl as well. He could have played in a third World Juniors for Germany, would have kept them from getting relegated, if he had played in that tournament, which would have had huge ramifications for that country, which still has not come back up to the top rung. He wasn't playing for the Oilers. There was no barrier to send him to the AHL. You could have still sent him to the World Juniors had he been in the AHL. Jack Roslovic did it with Winnipeg. Denis Gurianov did it with Dallas. They were both there. They were both AHLers playing at that tournament. And that's good experience. You know? Yeah, sure. He won gold the year before, but... Finland had a very young team this year because Patrick Laine is in the NHL, because Sebastian Aho is in the NHL, because a couple of other guys aged out, Mikko Rantanen, Kasperi Kapanen. Puljujärvi would have been the captain, would have been, you know, top line, power play. They could have put him on the penalty kill if they wanted to. He certainly would have had the energy. It's not like he's been doing a lot in Edmonton. But instead, you have him just kind of sitting around. You know, they say they want him to get used to... the culture. Well, Bakersfield is just as North American as Edmonton. I just I don't understand why the others keep doing these things. I mean, the more moves they make, the more I kind of wonder if it was just like, man, they got so lucky getting Connor McDavid because otherwise they can't stay out of their own way. I guess we'll see the rest of the way, you know, how things proceed. But Puljujarvi, I mean, yeah, he needs that time. And it's a lot of pressure on a kid that was drafted so high, especially one that we thought he would go a bit higher, but Columbus clearly had reservations. They took Dubois instead. It's, yeah, exactly.
Oh, wait a second, did I say that?
Too soon,
I
too soon.
To use my indoor
He's going
to
be fine. Yeah. No way.
three points in his first game with Blainville. Bob Rion just got traded. But yeah, a lot of pressure on these kids, and you know, you just kind of wonder about these decisions sometimes.
And what bothers me too is Edmonton was uniquely situated to start Puljujärvi in the AHL. They had a nice advantage. It's not like he's coming from Major Junior where he wasn't eligible.
Yeah.
It's not like the Oilers were a contending team that needed immediate help. They're doing a slow rebuild. And the very fact that he was sort of on the bubble to make the team, it was not like Patrick Laine, who was making the team all the way with the Jets. Puljujärvi, it was will he or won't he? And if you're asking that question, you have the option to send him down, then send him the F down to start the year, let him cut his teeth, and we could be looking at the situation completely differently. Maybe he starts the year in the AHL, gets a big wave of confidence, comes up after 15 games, or at least you do what it's one of the only things Colorado's done right in the last few years. With Mikko Rantanen, last year they gave him 9 games, then they sent him down, he started with 9 games. AHL player of the year, had 60 points in 52 games, and now he's looking like he belongs in the NHL. It bothers me when someone, you know, I don't consider myself a smart person overall compared to, you know, someone who runs a franchise.
Yeah,
if I can think of this, like, again, let's go back to the zipper. I didn't put my shirt on very well this morning, but if I can see that, you think that Peter Chiarelli would be able to see that? I'm a bit confused. They had an opportunity and they wasted it.
Well, I think, you know, I mean, I don't think it's that dire. I mean, they kept him around for a little longer than they should have, you know? I mean, in the grand scheme of things, this guy's going to either have a good career or he's not going to have a good career, or he's going to have a mediocre career, whatever he is going to have. And I think in the grand scheme of things, this isn't going to change that. You know, he's going to go down. He'll still have 40-plus games in the AHL. He'll still be able to find his feet. And if he has to stay in the AHL again next year, then they can just keep him in the AHL another year. And, you know, it's always better to have the prospects overripe, as we all know, than it is to rush them into this thing. And I think, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I don't think his development's been ruined. I don't think, you know, this is going to dictate his career as an NHL player. He's going to do what he's going to do, or he's not going to do what he's not going to do, based on sort of what he does from here forward. But, you know, you're right. It's kind of mystifying that they didn't send him down a little earlier.
Mm-hmm. I like that overripe. It's good. It's a good analogy, you know? It's like, if you're going to make banana bread, those bananas better be brown, not green. How's that? No? No good?
What are you doing,
Jack? That's a good analogy. Come on.
That's the only way you can make banana bread.
That's
Matt.
Right.
You know it.
That's right. Looking at the standings, I find the standings, you know, there's been a lot of double-take moments in the standings in general this year, but it was pretty crazy to see the Leafs a few days ago. They did end up losing to Montreal on Saturday, but a few days ago they were second in the Atlantic Division or a point away from taking over second in the Atlantic Division. And right now they're out of a playoff spot, but they've got games in hand. They're, I think, 1 point back in Ottawa the last I checked, or 2 points. Do you think the Leafs are going to make the playoffs? And if they do, which team currently in a playoff position in the East is going to slide out for that to happen?
Yeah, I think they're going to make the playoffs because I think their young players are getting better. You know, they're not. I mean, to think that none of them will hit the wall would probably be a little bit naive. But I think I don't think, you know, I mean, I don't think Austin Matthews is going to drop off the face of the earth. I don't think Nikita Zaitsev, who's a 25-year-old guy who's been playing in the KHL for 5 years, is going to drop off the face of the earth. You know, these guys are going to get better. They're going to have more of an impact. I mean, Austin Matthews is already one of the best players in the NHL, as far as I'm concerned. A possession-driven guy who, you know, may win the Calder Trophy just based on the fact that he's such a good possession player. So I think they're going to get better. They may. I hope they don't, and you wrote about this last week as a blog, I hope they don't sacrifice anything to supplement themselves at the trade deadline. I think this is one of those years where you just say, let's use the guys we have. And if we get in, great. If we don't, that's fine too. But I think they're going to get in, and I think Philadelphia is the team. I think they're the team. They went on a 10-game winning streak, and I think they're 2-5-3 since then. They've really faded, and I think, you know, I think that, that's the team you want to catch for that final wild card spot. Washington's too far ahead. You know, Ottawa's, yeah, that might be another team. I mean, that whole Bobby Ryan thing that just happened, and, you know, they, I think they've been doing it a little bit with smoke and mirrors, too. They're probably not quite as good as people thought they'd be, and I think the Leafs are a lot better than people thought they'd be.
Interesting. And, you know, to me, it's funny, and I wrote about this as well last week about the Leafs. What's interesting to me is that they can actually put themselves in a better position if they continue to behave like a seller team. And by that I mean, you know, shop your Roman Polaks, guys like that, Matt, well, no, not that anyone's going to trade for Matt Hunwick. Sorry, Matt Hunwick. But your veterans, let's say Roman Polak or even a Tyler Bozak. If you shop these guys, you know, it's the kids that are playing the best for the Leafs, even on the defensive side of the puck right now. Like, the Leafs' worst defensemen, possession-wise, have been Polak and Hunwick. So whoever you're going to bring up from the Marlies, based on the trend this season, is actually going to improve your team anyways. Yeah. So if you can, up front and forward, if you're bringing up Kasperi Kapanen or Brendan Leipzig, they've been two of the best players in the AHL. So they can sort of do two birds with one stone. They can move a veteran for some futures, and then they can bring up guys who are playing better anyways. And if I'm to pick the team I think is going to slide out, I'm also looking at the Ottawa Senators. I just don't buy it. I don't see enough talent on that team. I see a lot of guys who are just overpriced, especially poor Bobby Ryan. I don't know what's going on with him in terms of the personal problem, but, you know, for the last several seasons, he's been one of the most overpaid, making more than $7 million, and he's, you know, barely flirting with a 20-goal pace right now.
Yeah, my concern with the Leafs right now is with the goaltending, and what I mean by that is Frederik Andersen, who has been playing incredibly for them, is on pace, I believe, to play about 69 games this season. That's a lot of hockey, particularly when you're getting to those end games where they're going to get harder because there's going to be, you know, playoff-type games that the Leafs are involved in. There's going to be other teams that are going to be scratching and clawing for points. And if the Leafs don't have a proper backup that can go in and get some wins, I can see them bleeding a couple of points or just overworking Andersen to the point that he gives up a couple of games that, you know, he wouldn't have in January or February.
Yeah.
The flip side of that is I'm also on the Ottawa train here. Craig Andersen, speaking of goaltenders, this was a very good Craig Andersen year. He kind of goes good year, bad year. But, of course, with all his, you know, personal matters that he's dealing with his wife, who knows how much Craig Andersen we're going to see for the rest of the season. And obviously that's a priority that he has to take care of. But, again, with Ottawa and how shallow they are, I'm not really sure if they can overcome that. So, I mean, I guess I'm saying it all comes down to goaltending, whether it's Toronto or Ottawa. I think those two, I think it's going to be five teams coming out of the Metro.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, but I think Boston, they're going to have done enough. I mean, the team for me that's incredible is Tampa. And the fact that they are legitimately behind the Leafs right now.
And they're kind of legitimately bad right now.
They're kind of legitimately bad. And they'll get healthier, but are they going to have enough runway to get back into the playoffs?
I kind of just realized something. I said without a doubt it was going to be five metropolitan teams, and sentence before I said that Toronto was going to overpass Philly. Yeah. So it's not going to be five metropolitan teams.
That's
so
right.
Maybe they are going to catch Ottawa, but you know what? The bottom line is, the real only reason why we're talking about this is that, you know, the Leafs are a good young team, and they're obviously a lot of fun to watch at both ends of the ice. They make a lot of stuff happen. But it's a terrible division, and it's a crappy conference, and that's why.
Well, I don't know crappy conference.
No, not beyond the... first couple of... You know,
yeah.
the upper crust of the conference, there's not a lot of depth there.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like a... think of a movie. There's not a lot of depth.
Michael Bay movie. I've been saying the Leafs are a Michael Bay movie. Everyone goes to see it. They pay a lot of money. It's a lot of fun. There's not a lot of depth. It's very flawed. But you leave saying, hey, that was exciting. Michael Bay movie. That's
right,
the Leafs.
On. Gotcha. Yeah.
I like what you're saying about goaltending, Ryan, as well. Because to me, you know, absolutely the Leafs have improved dramatically as a team. The young guys are playing well. But the strongest correlation, if you look at the way they've moved in the standings, is Freddie Anderson struggled at the beginning of the year. Their record was not very good. Freddie Anderson's been on fire. And the team has steadily risen with his play. So if his play does tank, if he gets tired, he's never been a full-time starter, so it's very possible it's going to happen. We could see the Leafs start to bleed losses late in the season, so that is something to watch out for, absolutely. We're about at the halfway point of the season right now. I'm curious, you know, it's fun time to sort of look at the standings and see who's starting to fall out of the race, who's in the race. What's a team that's sort of under the radar that nobody's talking about enough right now that you guys think can make some noise down the stretch?
The same one that does it every year, the Los Angeles Kings. Yeah, I mean, they're holding on to that last wild card spot at the moment. But they're only 6 points out of the lead in the Pacific Division, which is another division that has seen better days, let's say. You know, I can just see the Kings, you know, winning 14 out of 15 games, 2-1, you know, and then just kind of rocketing up the standings and you know, being a force of nature by the time the playoffs begin.
And when Quick gets back, too.
Yeah, and then Jonathan Quick gets back as well. So that would be my team as kind of the dark horse that nobody's talking about. I mean, there's just, you know, I mean, there's just way too much experience and way too much talent on this team for it to not be a team that you would at least be afraid of, you know, going into it. And you know, if LA puts together a run and, you know, ends up second in the Pacific, do you want to finish third in the Pacific and face them in the first round? Not a chance.
It's a punishment.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, speaking of recent Stanley Cup winners, how about Chicago? I mean, even though they're the Blackhawks and they always seem to have big runs, it feels like we haven't talked a lot about them this year just because you have those great storylines like Columbus and Minnesota going on huge winning streaks. We have the exciting Leafs. You know, Montreal did huge things with Shea Weber and then, of course, Carey Price coming back. But the Blackhawks, they just keep winning, and that's another squad where they kind of lay in the weeds. Duncan Keith is, once again, one of the top-scoring blue liners in the NHL, despite only scoring one goal, which is kind of comical to me. He's like the anti-Cy Young. He's 1-28 right now.
That's right. So, he's a guy playing on... Who was it that had the crazy record for losses? Was it... Wasn't Doug Drabeck, was it? It was some Pittsburgh Pirates pitcher. He lost so many games, he had the reverse Cy Young record.
Right.
I got to research that after this.
There you go. So he's that. Yeah. He's maybe Doug Drabeck.
It's weird. When I watch the Hawks play, I don't know if I just pick weird games or whatever, but they look awful every time I watch them. But three-quarters of the time they win looking awful. Like, they'll be terrible for 2.5 periods, then they'll get 2 power plays, they'll score a couple of goals, and their talent will come through and win them the game, and then you go, wow, they shouldn't have won that game, and then you go, wow, they shouldn't have won that game either. So maybe that is it. You know, if they haven't hit their stride yet, you know, maybe they are a team that'll... I wouldn't be surprised if they went for another long run. They've got, I think, 5 or 6 years of long runs ahead of them, without question.
And it's a mark of a great team where, you know, we always talk about that vaunted core and their ability to, you know, bring in other guys to go with it. But if you head into a 7-game series and you're looking at Taves, Kane, Keith, Hossa, Crawford, and Seabrook on the other side, Panarin, Jalmerson, I mean, it's just daunting because you can't really get away from those really good and, in some cases, elite players. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's very daunting.
It's so true. It's funny, I can't believe I'm getting sucked in by them again, but it's a team I don't think many people have talked about much this year after they won the President's Trophy last year. The Washington Capitals, they're sort of just floating around. They're in a wild card spot, so I think I'm allowed to call them an under-the-radar team. They're not even in the top three in their own division. I'm just seeing one of those Ovi tears in the second half. I think he's 8 goals behind Sidney Crosby the last time I checked. Or maybe 7 goals behind. I could see him going on one of those tears because Kuznetsov is starting to show.
He'll get 50 goals and 57 points this year.
Yeah, something like that. He'll have the real Cy Young numbers. Braden Holtby is still Braden Holtby.
Bob Gibson.
That's right. And I still think this team's got a lot of talent. It's got a lot of size. Do I think they're going to go far in the playoffs? I don't know. I think I've given up that dream, but I do think they can make some noise. And you never know. Maybe based on the way they're playing, they're going to be a lower seed. They're going to get more of an interesting draw. They're going to play someone they don't normally play. What if they play a Columbus, someone like that? What if Pittsburgh wins the Metro and you have Washington playing Columbus in the first round? Are you going to pick Columbus to win that series?
Last week, you weren't here, Ryan.
True.
Last week, but I boldly predicted that Columbus would have a soul-crushing defeat in the first round of the playoffs. So that could be the case.
There you go. Another thing that we're going to start talking about in the weeks to come, the trade deadline is starting to creep up. It's less than 2 months away. Who are some names on your minds right now that you think are going to start getting bandied about?
One interesting name that I was thinking of is Thomas Vanek in Detroit.
Yeah, now, this is
fraught with peril because we know the Red Wings have this streak of consecutive playoff appearances that they desperately want to continue with.
It's over. Sorry, I hate to interrupt, but it's over.
My name is not Ken Holland. There's no point telling me that. I am not Henrik Zetterberg.
Yep.
Do not tell me that. They're the ones that need convincing of this. Mm-hmm. So you ask yourself...
Second last place in the conference doesn't do it for you?
Yeah, exactly. So you're saying there's still a hope. if Detroit were to be sellers, I'm looking at Vanek, pending unrestricted free agent, is actually playing very well. Nearly a point per game pace, which is pretty fantastic for the veteran. There's a guy that if you're making a run and you want somebody that's not too expensive... that clearly is on a pretty good run right now and comes with no long-term strings attached, Thomas Vanek seems like a pretty good guy. The other team I would look at is the New York Islanders. Now, for me, they could go one of two ways. Since they are clearly in disaster mode, you can unload an obvious candidate like a Jason Chimera, who gives you great speed in the bottom six, relatively cheap, but also signed for another year, so it's like a bit of a longer-term rental. Or did they go kind of crazy, see what they can get for Ryan Strome, a young player that they have not developed very well, who may need a change of scenery. Maybe this is the time that you give him that chance and see what you get in return.
Interesting. Very interesting.
I couldn't agree with you more on Thomas Vanek. Like, it's perfect. It's a perfect, perfect storm for somebody to trade for him. He's only on a $2.6 million cap hit. So but to me, if I'm Ken Holland and if I'm the Detroit Red Wings, yeah, you're right. They're not going to do this because they seem to be living in denial still. I would trade him now. Like, he's worth more now to a team than he would be in a month.
That's right. It's entirely possible. Yeah, he might Thomas Vanek this thing.
Yeah,
exactly.
But I mean, it's a perfect storm. The guy doesn't make much money. So whether you get him now or at the trade deadline, you're not giving up a lot in terms of cap hit and dollars.
Right.
Number two, he's chasing a contract. That's always a good time to have Thomas Vanek in the lineup when he needs a contract for the next year. So, you know, and he's having, and as you say, he's having a great year. Like, to me, I don't wait till the trade deadline. I get out in front of this, and I trade him now, and I'm like, okay, look, you're getting Thomas Vanek for a couple of months for a playoff run. He's been a great player. You're going to have to give us some of your, you know, you're going to have to give us a good pick or a good prospect or a pick and a prospect for this guy. So I agree with you there. And, you know, a couple other guys, why don't we just put Martin Hanzel on the New York Rangers and figure out what young player they're going to give Arizona back for him?
Yeah.
Do you want to do that? Or
Michael
Stone. Maybe Martin Hanzel and Michael Stone. Just take them right now, wherever they are. Just get on a plane, go to New York, guys.
Sounds about right.
Okay, and we'll just figure this out. Yeah. We'll give you our first-round pick, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't do first-round picks anyways.
Yeah.
We're the New York Rangers.
Exactly. Yeah. And another guy, the guy that nobody wants and everybody wants, P.A. Parenteau in New Jersey. He would be a guy I think would be a terrific add-on at the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm. The poor man's Lee Stepniak.
Yeah, that's exactly. Right. And he is actually a poor man's Lee Stepniak.
Yep.
You know, he's been in the league like 11 years, and he's had 7 one-year contracts.
Wow.
P.A. Parenteau, he's had one out of all
Gun
of his contracts.
Hire.
Out of all of his contracts, he's had one contract for more than 1 year. And the rest of them have all been one-year deals.
That's remarkable. He would have been traded last year, too, but I think he had a little bit of an injury right before the trade deadline, so at least couldn't trade him in time.
And I think Jerome McGinley is as good as gone. I think Calgary...
That's my guy.
I think Calgary will make a play for him for the nostalgia thing and that. I just wonder if McGinley wouldn't say, look, this is it for me. You know, Calgary's nice, but I want to go somewhere.
No offense, guys.
No, but I want to go somewhere I really, like, really? Seriously have a chance to win a Stanley Cup. Like, you know, one of the top teams. I think a guy that has to be traded that's not a pending UFA is Matt Duchene.
Yes.
I think that's a trade that Colorado has to make sooner rather than later as well. You know, he's a guy that's got, what is he, $6 million for the next 2 years. I think put in the right situation, this guy could be great. But Colorado's not the right situation, and it's never going to work there in the long term. So let's make this right. And this is a trade that you can make. That's a hockey trade, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you can make a hockey trade. You can get, you know, Colorado is whatever the hell it is they're doing there. You know, and so they get a bunch of young guys and they tear it all down and start to build it back up.
Yeah.
They need at least two NHL defensemen to even think about being a legitimate hockey team right now. Mm-hmm. Matt Duchene can land you that.
Yeah,
absolutely. And for the team that gets Matt Duchene, that's a championship caliber addition. That's a game changer for whatever team gets him.
Absolutely.
Because we've seen, you know, obviously he's not going to join a team where that's as good as Canada, but it's a good example of Matt Duchene in the right situation with good line mates, what he can do.
Exactly.
He's still got great skills, great speed.
Put him on their second line. I mean, if he's a secondary player on a really good team, that could be, I mean, that's a team. You get him, and it's like, whoa, these guys, like...
They're serious.
Like St. Louis gets him or something, you know?
Right.
St. Louis gets him, and then you go, holy
shit. Oh, boy.
Wow. These guys might do something in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think Colorado's a team to watch. I had written down Jerome McGinley as well. I think he's the most likely player in the entire NHL to get traded in the next 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also looking at Gabriel Landeskog. You know, he's the captain, but... I don't think he's necessarily in the long-term plans. He's been very inconsistent, but he still has a skill set that's very quote-unquote playoffy. People, because he's physical.
Yeah.
You know, he's a well-liked guy in the room. He's got good leadership. I could see teams wanting to trade for him. I've heard stuff about Boston. Apparently,
I have heard that.
You know, I think Colorado wanted Brandon Carlo. So there could be a fit there, but I wouldn't be surprised. To me, I think Landeskog would be the first guy to go between him and Duchene if I were to bet on it. Other guys to watch for, I mean, it would be a hockey trade, and even though I'm saying the Leafs shouldn't, you know, go crazy and trade for help this year, rent players, I could see a hockey trade involving James Van Riemsdyk if the Leafs were able to get an NHL defenseman.
Yeah, the only thing is, James Van Riemsdyk is playing right now a lot like he doesn't want to go anywhere.
No,
he's been excellent.
Yeah, he has.
He has been excellent. I don't know if anybody's... I
don't think anyone doubts that. He's good.
Perhaps I should look these things up before I say them, but I don't know that anybody's had a hotter streak in the last 10 games than James Van Riemsdyk has. He's been terrific. Or maybe he is playing like a guy who wants to get traded to a contender.
Look, how did that
I don't know, but I mean, he's been very, very, very good lately.
Yeah. For me, he's one of those guys that you need in your transition from rebuild to good team, where he's not that old, but he's been around a long time. He's got the big body. He can do a lot of different things out there. So if I'm the Leafs, you'd have to get a lot for JVR, because I feel he's one of those veterans that you'd rather keep on, and you know, eventually he's wearing a letter for you.
Yeah, and you know, he's low maintenance too. Do you ever hear anything like he's an asshole or anything?
No.
Like nothing.
No.
Like he just plays his game, plays hard. You know, he shows up all the time. Good guy.
Good, very good contract. One of the best value.
Yeah, really good value
league.
Contract.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe you want to hang on to him.
Interesting. All right. Well, I think you know what it's time for right now.
It's about that time.
It's about that time.
So, okay, guys.
It's time for Was He a Ranger?
Okay, well, now I've been batting around several theme songs for Was He a Ranger.
Geez.
So in an ode to the Paolas, you've got the eyes of Was He a Ranger? How's that? Or...
Not bad.
Or... Highway to the Was He a Ranger zone?
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Okay.
Little Kenny Loggins.
Yes.
Or an ode to Robert Palmer. Doctor, give me the news. I've got a bad case of Was He a Ranger.
If I can make a quick.
So, if anybody listens to this, anybody listens to this, let us know which one you like the best. Or should we just keep circling back to
quick something? Digression, because for some reason I heard that Robert Palmer song a couple of times in the summer. Is he in love with the doctor? Because he says, doctor, give me the news, I got a bad case of loving you.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
So Robert Palmer, clean your grammar up.
Yeah.
Or at the very least,
yeah,
the
he's
syntax.
Got his pronouns mixed up.
Yeah, the syntax, yeah,
yes.
For sure. Yeah.
Anyways.
All right. Who's going to lead it off? I'll lead it off.
Do it.
Okay.
Steve Duchene.
Ooh. Steve Duchene. I feel like he was a Ranger.
Yeah, I'm going to say...
I see Nordique for sure, but I feel Ranger.
Mm-hmm. You feel Ranger?
He played for Toronto, eh? for a while?
No, he didn't, eh?
Ottawa.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to say he was not a Ranger.
Ken is correct.
Oh, Steve Duchesne, after a bad week last week. I couldn't picture. That was one of those ones where you just, you do the, like, what's that thing that you move around with the little
picture? I don't know.
Kansas
is waving his
the
viewfinder?
Yeah,
whatever. Yeah, you do that, and I just couldn't see him in a Rangers uniform.
Oh, I had his He-Man, so I couldn't see the Steve Duchesne.
Okay, so here's mine. I always like going old school with this stuff.
Yep.
Howie Morenz, the first superstar of the NHL, one of the most tragic figures in NHL history. Howie Morenz.
I'm going to say no because the Rangers were terrible back then, and I don't think Howie Morenz would have been on a terrible team. That's my logic.
I'm going to do my Ken deconstruction. It's never failed me so far. My logic is, I think that Ken knows that we're going to associate Howie Morenz with just pure Montreal, because who wouldn't? Which makes me think maybe he was a Ranger. But maybe it's a double fake out, and Ken thinks I'm going to think that. I think Ken thinks I'm going to think that, so I'm going to see through the double fake out, and I'm going to say not a Ranger.
You're both wrong.
Damn it!
You're both
shit.
Howie Morenz. Okay, here, I'll tell you. You
context.
Said that the Rangers were terrible. Well, Howie Morenz was terrible at that time of his career. 1935-36. He actually went from Montreal, got traded to Chicago, played a year and a half in Chicago, or 2 years in Chicago, and then got traded to the Rangers for, like, some guy that didn't do anything. And then Cecil Hart took over the Canadiens in 36-37, and he took him over on one condition, that they would go back out and get Howie Morenz, which they did. He had, like, 20 points in 30 games, and then he broke his leg and died. So it was very sad. It was very sad. I have a cottage in Grand Bend. This is a true story too, which is near Mitchell, which is where he was born. So I actually made a pilgrimage to the house where Howie Morenz was born.
Wow.
To go look at it and talk to people and stuff.
When I say cool story, bro, I mean it. As in, that'd be a good story to tell.
It was fun.
There you go. Sounds like a summer blog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In honor of the Spengler Cup, Luke Richardson was your Ranger.
Oh, man.
Good pick. Let's see. I can picture him with a bunch of different teams. I'm not seeing Rangers. I'm going to say he was not a Ranger. I can't picture it in my own personal viewfinder.
Right. And for that reason, I'm going to agree with Matt. I'm going to say he was not a Ranger.
Luke Richardson? Not a Ranger.
Oh, yeah. Well done. What a comeback. Oh, my God. I'm so
played
happy.
Played for Columbus, played for Tampa, played for Ottawa. Obviously, better known early in his career with a couple of other teams, but not a Ranger.
So, since I stumped both you guys and I got both right, I win.
You are Night Ranger.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
We'll give it to Ken.
Night Ranger. Sister Christian.
Now we're motoring out of here. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week.